Hi, my name is Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3Pi² ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3Pi² has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to ABA Business Leaders Podcast brought to you by 3Pi². I'm April.
I'm Steven.
Nice for you guys to be here today. Welcome. I know you're busy and you have a lot to do on your to-do list. So the fact that you are choosing to spend time with us, I am flattered. Thank you so much. Today, we are going to go on a mission.
Okay.
Similar to like going on a bear hunt.
Okay. Yeah,
we're going to go on a mission. Today, we're not going to look at fixing a system or growing a business or solving a problem.
Okay.
Yeah. We are going to go on a mission to find the joy that you may have left behind or have forgotten about. Or maybe you don't even realize that you left the joy behind. And then you're realizing, like, you're checking your pockets and you're like, where's that joy?
Hmm.
Yeah. See, this is joyful, right? Being like just goofy and fun.
I left my joy somewhere. It's not here.
My child would be so embarrassed of me right now, I believe. But hey, that is what it is. In our family, joy is an important part of our life, right? We, it's one of our values. The podcast puppy that you see from time to time, is Zoe Joy. And our son loves to bring joy, right? Mm-hmm. He's very serious about it. And he takes it, it's a real job, a real mission for him to bring joy where he goes. So for joy, it's something that, I believe it's important for life to have some aspect of joy. And I'm not meaning like just feeling happy. When I think of joy, I think of something a little deeper, and not so, not connected to those surface, emotions that are going to ebb and flow like constantly. Right.
Okay.
So joy, some might say is an important part of a fulfilling life. And so when we're looking at burnout, we're looking at high turnover rate, and we're looking at all these, we're looking at ourselves as like finding our, remembering our why as mm-hmm. business leaders, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe we forget to look at joy.
It's possible.
So, because we forget, it's not like, you know, it's not typically a metric that we use. It's not typically something that can be easily observed and measured and like tracked, right? Especially if we haven't defined what that looks like for ourselves. And yeah, so let's talk about it today.
Let's do it.
So in leadership, especially in caregiving and service fields like ABA, joy often gets pushed to the side, but I don't think on purpose, right? It's just, unless you're intentionally keeping it at the, you know, that lens, or keeping it as like a top of your list, or you know, focusing on finding the joy in things, then it's easy. It's easy to leave that behind. So, you know, we focus on outcomes, efficiency, burnout prevention, policies, procedures, mm-hmm. treatment plans, you know, all of those things. But what if we did focus on joy as a metric? So, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
And so those of you who are listening, I want you to take a minute and like, think about like how you would answer this question also. But Steven gets to be on the hot seat where he gets to share his answer with everyone. So where would you say that you find joy in what you do with 3Pi²
Crickets.
Crickets.
No, I mean, like, I guess where I would start is I want to make sure that I'm speaking the same language.
Do you want to start with what is joy?
So what is joy? Yeah, what, in your opinion, what is joy?
So here's a couple definitions, and we could even look up some definitions if you want. Mm-hmm. But, like, joy versus happiness. How did you know this was next on my flow?
I didn't, honestly. But, yeah. Like, I think that, like, this is something that a lot of people will have problems with is how do you define, yeah, like, joy? What I don't even know.
Well, like, I kind of just said a minute ago, like, happy? Like, what is joy? So joy is often, like, quieter, rooted in meaning, alignment, and presence.
Okay.
You could even associate certain, like, we'll get really woo-woo here for a minute, but mm-hmm. you could associate certain feelings within the body to joy. Like, how do you feel when you're joyful? Mm-hmm. Like, for me, I feel like really grounded, like really sturdy and grounded, because I think that for me, that comes with joy is like maybe feeling, I don't know, confident, perhaps as part of it, or, you know, feeling like just full and present and intentional. But like, as far as my body, like, I feel like really grounded, really firm footing. Okay. And, you know, sometimes I even, reflect, like, I don't know how, what you call that. If you feel it in your body where you're like you're reflective, sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's not like, you know, exuberance or anything like that, but it's just like a quiet, just calm feeling. I'm not very good at describing how I feel things in my body, but
my perspective of joy is quite different from yours. So when I think of the word joy, I think of you're excited. It's rooted in happiness.
Right. There's excitement there.
When what you were describing, in my opinion, and this again is where, like, it's really important when you're creating your values, not to jump off, but like, if it's just a word, like, even us, we lived together forever and we've had two businesses together and we still don't really speak the same language a lot, right? So it's really important to write down what that looks like to you. What I heard was contentment.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, like content.
Center,
yeah.
Chill, like focus, but, you know, confident in where you're at. That sounds like content.
And I was just, you know, as I was going through that, I was like, I feel like I'm missing something, but almost like and there again, I'm still learning how to explain like how I feel things, like sensations, but like almost like a bubbling over.
Okay.
Like that's, I think it, cause like it's,
so it's content plus.
Yeah. Like it's content. Like this like bubbling over, and sometimes like tears come with it. And sometimes like that feeling in your throat,
sure,
right. Where
sure.
Like you're going to well up.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes I just feel like I'm going to like explode, like burst, but not like in the same way as I would feel like happy or excited, or if like I'm at a sporting event cheering on my team, like that's a whole different feeling for me. And joy, like I feel like joy is, for me, joy is not as fleeting. It stays around a little longer, and it can be like running in the background.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds good to me.
Thanks for helping me expand on that. Yeah. And that's what I want you guys these are great conversations to have, or even like, journal, right? If you don't necessarily have someone to chat with, like sit down and like journal what joy means to you, what it feels like. There's no wrong answer.
No, I think that what you described is very helpful, and it sounds like having that, you know, that feeling in your throat where you can't quite say words at this moment in time, maybe is what I take from what you just said. And it kind of bubbling up inside of your chest, like it's like, but then your throat is like, no, and you know, like, yeah. So like, I would say it's not quite confident, because in my opinion, confidence is like reserved, just like, I already know what I need. I already know what I want. I'm focused on my goal, and like, you're not going to you know, I'm on solid ground, right? Where I think joy, you're a little bit unbalanced. Not that you're an unbalanced person, but I just feel like excited, happy, sad. You're not, like, your footing is a little bit loose, right? Because you're not completely grounded. That's how I look at it. But I think it's a good exercise with whoever you're building this business with, whether that be another BCBA, another, or your partner, or whoever, to really go over your vision. What does that actually look like? What does it feel like? And I really appreciate you describing the feelings in your body. And how do you describe feelings in your body? Like, how do you get better at that?
By practicing.
Yeah, like mindfulness would be a really good idea.
You know, I just were like, I started, well, you know, we have a couple of businesses. We've had businesses. We're entrepreneurs for sure. But when we moved to Canada, I started a business. I never really did anything with it. Mm-hmm. I did make a logo and a title, and I was trying to figure out exactly what directions before I really jumped in with 3Pi Squared and the mm-hmm. capacity that I am now. And I wanted to be a parent coach. Still, that's still a project I'm going to get to. But my company's name was is Grounded in Joy Parenting, right? And so, like, or Grounded in Joy Parent Coaching, something like that. But like the fact of like grounded in joy, and like, and then like the way I explained it now, like really, like that's like where I get, like that's one of my pillars where I get like my firm footing is joy. Mm-hmm. And then you're discussing joy is maybe not fully grounded.
Yeah.
So like even little small, that could like, it seems like such a little thing, mm-hmm. but even that little difference in interpretation and understanding of what it means can really can help for more clear communication, you know, as you go. Okay, so I Googled the definition of joy.
Okay.
So joy as noun mm-hmm. is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness.
Okay.
And so then I am going to put it into a ChatGPT. What is the definition of joy? And Chatty says the definition of joy can vary depending on the context.
Yeah.
So general definition though is joy is a deep, often spontaneous feeling of great pleasure, delight, or emotional uplift. Mm. Unlike happiness, which is often tied to external circumstances or outcomes, joy tends to be more internal, enduring, and connected to meaning or presence. And I think that's where I get that grounded piece from. From inside.
I think, again, these can be very subjective, right? It's like looking at a painting. What does that... How do you respond to that, right? Emotionally, physically, everybody's a little bit different. So really kind of doing your best to really define that.
And I'm not here saying that joy has to be one of your values, you know, like that's not, this is mine. This is my story. This is where we are. And I do urge, like by the end of this podcast, hopefully you'll think, how does joy show up for me? And where do I stand now? Maybe it'll get you thinking about that. But am I saying that it has to be one of your values? Absolutely not.
I would say, like, if it's not, why? Maybe, right? Because, you know, purpose and joy probably would be up there for the vast majority of people.
Well, they say that, like, if you really enjoy your job, then...
Enjoy
your job, then you don't work a day in your life. You know, like, the whole thing, right? And so, you know, I do feel like, joy could be tied with purpose. Yeah, it's, like, tied with purpose. And so...
I think that's, like, the perfect wrapping, right? Yeah. Is, like, if you can do what you... really wanting to do and you can bring joy in, that really is like, I don't know how else you would describe purpose.
Well, I know, and I've said this quite a few times, and I keep saying, I need to go back and find the article that I read this in. But I mm-hmm. think since I've like over the past couple of years, I've heard it on multiple podcasts from multiple speakers. And so I'm not even sure where I got this from. But that happiness, like your happiness within your job and your fulfillment within your job or your staff, right? Mm-hmm. And decreasing turnover is if your staff can find purpose, and feel of value within the company, then and they're more likely to stay with you. And in a lot of occasions now, we have to look at this, you know, like take this as it is, but like in a lot of occasions that could be more powerful than a raise. Of course, you still have to be competitive. And I'm not going to say that, oh, I'm going to give you purpose and joy, but the guys down the street are paying twice as much. Now that's, you know, but like little small tiny raises along may not be enough to keep.
Yes. If you're in that range, I think that, yes, if I can come to work, if I can come to work and find purpose, find meaning.
And I can pay my bills.
And I feel valued. Yeah, I think that, of course. Yes, of course.
It's like take care is the whole part of support and take care of your staff, right? Correct. And then also, and we'll talk about this more as we go through this, but like, you know, as a leader, like you show up and you set the tone, right? And model for your staff.
April and I are so honored to have Margin Keeper sponsor this podcast.
Running an ABA business comes with its share of challenges. Managing clients, staff, insurance, the list goes on.
One thing you shouldn't add to your stress, bookkeeping. That's where Margin Keepers comes in.
They're specialists in ABA businesses, which means they understand exactly what we need.
With Margin Keepers handling your finances, you can focus on what really matters, your clients, and your practice's growth.
They're more than just bookkeepers. They're lifesavers in the financial world of ABA.
So for peace of mind and expert financial management,
turn to Margin Keepers. It's a decision that will lift a weight off of your shoulders.
Check out Margin Keepers at www.marginkeepers.com and see how they can help your business thrive.
So, okay, so now we're going to go back to this question of when was the last time you felt a deep sense of joy in your work? Or in your life too, those, if you want to reflect on that, but we're just going to try to stick to like the work thing. But not just relief, like, and not just satisfaction or contentment, but like joy. I can think of like, I have like so many things rattling off in my head, like in my personal life.
Sure.
But it does take me a minute to like, in some ways, even separating work, like and social,
I mean, I can think of like, but again, this feels like it's not joy because it's external. So, but I'll throw it out here. I got an email from a customer. I don't know, it was maybe a week ago. Maybe it was more than that. I don't know anymore. That just, they said, thank you so much for all your help. You know, I wouldn't have been able to do this without you. And I like, you know, she shared how far she had come. And I was like, oh, wow, I was a part of that, right? Like, however small a part of I was, I really appreciate the email, right? And that brought some, in my opinion, some joy.
You know, that gets me thinking about, like, when we are in the trenches, so to speak, maybe I shouldn't say that, but when we're like in that direct service and we're working with the student, with our learners, our kids, or even adults, right? Like when we're with our learners and we are teaching them and we're working with them and we're forming that like professional relationship with them and they say a word for the first time,
right.
Or they get a skill that we've been working on. Working so hard on it and they get it. Like that kind of sounds like that. And I think in those situations, it's like, yes, external. Cause it's this other human, this other being that you're getting it from, but it's also like, you know, that you also put the hard work and effort into it too. So it's almost like a dual thing, but then you also have that connection piece. So it's not just about you. You're actually able to share something. Share that on that same wavelength, that like feeling of joy with the other person. You're like delighting in their joy, and then you're feeling, so it's like that connection piece is also there, which makes it stronger. And so and I think I wonder too, like sometimes that's where we lose the joy, right? Is as we're, you know, years down the road and now we're sitting behind a desk dealing with insurance and staffing and you know, whatever. And we're not getting that face-to-face time with the learners, right? And sometimes we get the stories from our staff, but if we're kind of disconnected from that, and that's what got us in the field in the first place, then, you know, that can be something that we don't even realize we're missing until like, oh, I kind of missed that, right? Because I know that there were times when that's when I didn't want to grow a company anymore, because I got to the point where I couldn't go meet the people, meet our clients and meet the families. And so I really needed that connection. I wanted to be able to, because I get joy in like just the connecting and being able to hear their story and see the learner and interact with them, right?
Yeah, I think I'm right now stuck in that line in the sand moment where I can feel, oh, well, this doesn't count as joy because it's external. I'm not sure how else it could be right now. So maybe we need to have a debate with Chatty on the back and forth with this. But
it could be therapy session here. It could be linked to like your feeling of like it's hard for you to feel proud and stuff.
No,
like that.
Totally. But also, pride, like feeling pride, like, and this is again, we're going to turn this into therapy session, aren't we? But feeling pride just to feel pride, that's not something I do. I don't know, is that a normal thing that people do? Like, I don't know. When I think of pride, it's a negative thing. I don't know if that's because I was raised somewhat religious at times in my life, and you know, pride is
The devil.
I don't know. Anyway, again, we're getting into a therapy session here. So back to joy. Like when I think of work examples of like, you know, some delight, some a more solid footing than happiness. I mean, you know, when we got that email about the grant, there was a lot of joy in that. Maybe a little bit of relief. Getting emails or comments when we're doing a consultation about how helpful we've been. I think I get some joy from that. Maybe some a slight bit of pride in there. But joy also brings gratitude, I think, for me. At least. So it's like, oh, I'm grateful that I've been a part of that, like that I can share in this experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So here's something for you.
Okay.
In my prep for today, I was going in multiple different directions. And this was like a couple of weeks ago. Okay. And I did not review my notes before this. And so like now I'm reviewing over and I'm like, oh, here's something for you.
Okay.
Joy emerges when behavior is aligned with values, not necessarily when it's easy or fun. So it might be uncomfortable to speak at a conference, but if contribution and growth are values of yours, joy might follow anyway. Like you might feel nervous and doubt yourself before leading a new training, but afterwards there's a deep sense of meaning and joy because it aligned with your values of service and mentorship. Is that external? Like your whole, like you're getting, well, there's some external there, I'm sure. But yeah, like ultimately it's like you're aligned with your values and it feels like it's, yeah.
Sure. But it was the act of doing, right? And not getting stuck on, oh, I'm nervous. I'm going to run away from this thing. I'm going to do the hard thing. And then joy arises from the hard thing. Yes.
Yeah. So joy is often a side effect of values aligned action.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not the goal. It's the signal that you're on the right path.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. So then we definitely want to measure joy. If that, in that case, we would want some, let's get some KPI around joy.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like,
if we can measure joy, then we should be on the right track as long as our values are correct.
So you could even, look at your reinforcement history.
Okay.
I'm going to get a little bit, for my behavior analyst in the crowd, like they're going to be like, you're on kindergarten level.
Yeah, dude,
but I'm for those of you who are not like directly behavior analysts,
talk to me like I'm a 2-year-old.
So reinforcement history refers to the cumulative experiences where certain behaviors have been followed by reinforcement, by like things that likely increase the likelihood of it happening again. Okay. Right. And so your sense of joy is shaped by what you've been reinforced for over time, sure, perhaps, right? What people praised you for, what felt good, mm-hmm, what aligned with your identity. So like back, you know, through your years of growing, right? Like that history has shaped what that means for you and how it shows up. So if you've only ever been reinforced for fixing problems, then maybe creating new things might feel uncomfortable. But if you're like going in and fixing someone else's problems may bring you that feeling of joy and satisfaction and like you've contributed.
Okay.
I don't know. Does that, am I trying to fit
that
in a little
too much?
Yeah,
that feels a little.
But so like if connecting with clients was also reinforced through positive feedback and emotional fulfillment, but spreadsheets were neutral and punishing, joy might show up more in the connection and not the data entry.
Raise your hand if you enjoy doing session notes. All right.
People might.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna let's have a poll in our group for this
one. Can you find the joy in writing session notes? Can you find it?
Joy? No.
Oh, that's gonna be I'm gonna do a course on finding the joy in session notes.
No.
There is no joy.
Oh, okay. The joy has been squeezed out of it.
You're like black and white. Like joy, no joy. You can find joy in making session notes. Maybe that's the key to doing better session notes, is finding the joy in it.
Okay. you go. I'd love to see that. Honestly, I would love to see how you get joy out of... Seriously, though, poll the audience. How many people would rather do direct service with their client or the session note?
Well, it's not a rather. It's not a would you rather, but what can you find? What can you, like, what joy that you find with working with your client can also show up in session notes, right?
You know I'm right. I will win this poll.
It's like gratitude, right? Like
it's not the same as joy, but
mm-hmm, you could like go on a hunt for joy. You can create joy. You can create gratitude.
I think that if joy is a metric that you want to use, then how do you like, mm-hmm, maybe don't do a poll. Ask the people in our Facebook group. How do you find joy? Give me an example of what a joyful session note would be, right? Like, yeah, I can't imagine
a joyful session note, but can you find joy in doing your day-to-day, like the mundane task in your job? Because I think if you could find joy in the mundane tasks of your job, no matter what your job is, sure, then like, have you not hacked life? Like, have you not hacked like fulfillment and success?
I mean, maybe. I don't know that that's possible all the time, right? I feel like, again, you're like just this, I think that's borderline naive, right? I think that now we're talking to a different person.
Well, you're also allowed to not feel joy. Like, it's not like you have to feel joy in everything, but the more that you can find it.
I think that you could probably find joy from knowing that I hate doing this thing and I did it anyway.
Right. Like this whole like fulfillment, yes, right? Like you did your job expectations.
Typing out the note and just, oh, yay, joy.
I'm not saying that you're going to be like rainbows and sunshine. Like,
that's what it sounds like.
You can attach joy to these things.
If joy is a value or a metric that you want to follow, which I think it's a good idea. I honestly do think it's a good idea. Maybe you don't put it in joy. Maybe you define it some other way, fulfillment, whatever, depending on what kind of feeling joy elicits from you. If you're cool with joy, use it. But if you're like, I don't like that word, use something else. But I think you're right. I think you're on the right track here. If you can define that in your day-to-day tasks, then we have something here. Yes, I totally do. How do you find fulfillment or enjoyment from completing a session note? How do you get, I think some of these things are super obvious, right? But some of them may not be. How do you find enjoyment from getting bit, kicked, scratched, punched, right? Like, because you're going to have a lot of that too. So
the next connection I was trying to make, okay, right, was between MOs and like, so why joy shows up when it does. And so motivating operation. So I was just pulling up the definition, right? Because I know you're going to ask me what it is. Is an environmental variable that temporarily changes the value of a stimulus as a reinforcer or punisher, right, in the likelihood of behaviors that have been associated with that stimulus. So essentially, an MO alters an individual's want or desire for something and the effect they will exert to obtain it. Now,
sure,
there, it gets complicated, but that's just the basic. So if a motivating operation is an environmental event that alters the value of a reinforcer, then the likelihood of behavior that has produced that reinforcer in the past. So like, so that for joy would be like when you're burnt out, the value of tasks that once brought joy might decrease because the capacity to respond to them has changed.
Assuming that part of joy at least is doing something that may be difficult.
Right.
And finding some gratitude and happiness and delight and all of that from it. If we're making a package of joy, then I would assume that if you're burnt out, you don't have the energy that you once had, you don't find as much joy at the end of that hard thing, then it would be hard to do hard things.
Right. So alternatively, a well-timed break, connection, or success can make joy more accessible because the conditions prime you to receive reinforcement.
Yeah, I think, we need to define what a break is, because if break I get it. But if break means I'm going to go on TikTok and look at 5 hours of reels and get all anxious and frustrated, and then,
well, of course, that goes down a whole nother pathway.
Correct.
So for example, let's say you love mentoring staff, but after 5 back-to-back meetings and no lunch, that same activity feels exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's not the activity, it's the MO.
Okay.
So joy isn't about what we're doing. It's about what's happening around what we're doing. Our context changes how available joy is.
Okay.
I don't know. I want to know you guys' thought. I want to know what you guys think about this.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was trying to make connections, like trying to make it concrete. I'm still not like fully connecting it, but I know there's something there. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation. How can we like make it a metric? And first we have to define it. We have to figure out like, you know, it's you could figure out what behaviors possibly occur alongside of this to be able to observe and measure it. However, it is a lot of it's internal.
It's fleeting,
right?
It's fleeting, right? I think that like it's not like you can just say, okay, when I do A, B, and C in this order, I get that thing, right?
Yeah,
so I think that it's hard to grasp a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And what worked one day may not work the next because it's not exactly the same. Hey,
right,
you had a fight at home. Look, you ran out of gas on the way to work.
So many variables. Right? And so, you know, one might say too, like if there's a connection there to like your joy and your values and your personal life and like the whole work-life balance.
Right.
Some could say, well, some meaning the way I feel about it is that to have a good work-life balance, you also have to be balanced like within your own self with values, sure, with work and life. So
yes.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole
Times when we're looking at what we want, or, you know, like when we're trying to parse out some of this, we're also looking at what we don't want.
Correct.
Because sometimes, I'm not sure. The more I talk about this, I'm not sure what I want. I'm not sure. Maybe that's not what I want, but I do know what I don't want to happen. Right. So like overwhelm, right? So joy doesn't usually disappear all at once. Potentially, right? Like maybe you're like, well, I never had joy. Like,
right.
I don't know, right? But the idea is like, let's say you started off like excited about a new job and joyful and like new like learning and new like mm-hmm. opportunities and like maybe there was something that really you were enjoying about it, and then like slowly like a leaky tire, like it just slowly started sure. leaking out and you didn't even notice it until the tire's flat, right? Right. So maybe those are those like those things that cause overwhelm also steal your joy. Maybe like, you know, over scheduling or living in that like firefighting mode where you're constantly.
It may also be that there's some novelty there too, right? Yeah. So like that, it's new, it's fresh, it's exciting, right? And so there's more joy, there's more potential joy than if I've been doing the same thing for 5 years.
100%. And so that's part of why, you know, supporting our staff and like giving them learning opportunities, and how can you keep, you know, giving them new opportunities and shifting and growing. Mm-hmm. And that's like within our growth paths right. for ABA business leaders. Right. That's something that we have worked into that is you're not just like, okay, I'm just an RBT and right. You know, like it's not like, yeah, within the RBT position, there's so many different areas of growth and you're like, you know, looking, you can like be looking forward, looking ahead, like, okay, what can I, you know, yes, being, yes, whatever. There's important to be like happy with where you are, but we're also human. And most of us in this field want to continue to grow and mm-hmm. add, you know, value to the company. And that may mean, okay, I want to learn more. I want more responsibility within the company.
Yeah. One thing on that? Like, so I think that there's also another group of people that we need to speak about at least a little bit. And while maybe I love to learn, right? I constantly want to learn new things, but there are also people that are just like, I need stable.
Yeah.
I need consistency. I don't want things to change.
I want to know what's expected of me. I want clear communication. Yes,
I want to go to the same places, the same kids, have the same expectations, the same BCBA, day-to-day things. I don't want a lot of chaos, right? And well, you're in the wrong job if you don't want a whole lot of variation, but everybody's got a certain baseline, right? And so I think measuring that baseline will probably help as well, right? Knowing your audience, right? Read the room kind of thing.
Yeah. So
if you've hired a bunch of introverts and you're an extrovert, well, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, and this is kind of where knowing your why and having your values and like setting your company culture is so important, because, you know, maybe not everybody. And so right now, like in our field, like everyone, he's like trying to hire new yes. staff. And so they're like, how can I get new staff? How can I? Oh, and right now the focus seems to be right. I get it. Rightly so. We got to get staff in. Mm-hmm. Right. But on getting the staff in, like I'm just going to take whoever's going to accept this job, and I'm getting the staff in. And so it's my invitation to you to take a step back and think about like what that means. Like perhaps it's the most perfect staff member for you, mm-hmm. but maybe if you like have like a feeling, or there's like something that they said or something that, you know, that you're concerned about, maybe taking that step back and like thinking, okay, maybe is it important for more important for me to have someone to come in to invite into my company who shares the same values. Doesn't mean we all have to think the same way. I don't mean that.
No, but you could say at the end of the interview, was that joyful? Right. And again,
and watch their face like,
well, not even ask them, not even ask yourself. What did I come out of that? Like, we just did an interview with somebody and we were like, ugh. Okay. There was a sense of dread.
Yeah.
Right. There was like, oh my goodness, this is still going on. Where? So like, and so, yeah, I think that versus a previous interview, we were like, oh wow. Like there was a connection. It felt like I could have this conversation could continue.
Right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. So like even that I think is a good example of how, okay, one conversation, our values seemed aligned, right? We were talking the same language, right? Again, which is what we went back to the first of this podcast. What does joy even mean to you? Versus like, we both felt it, whether it came from one of us or we both agreed, yeah, this ain't working on the second interview. So like that I think is a good way to measure joy in yourself after an interview.
So that's a great segue into a little bit more actionable. How can we like give you like a little, formula, so there's steps on how to figure this out.
I just say one more thing, just going back to one of our I Hate My Job podcast series that we did. Like, I just think like that was one of the things many RBT said, I'm just a warm body. Right. And so like, nobody wants to feel that. You don't like, I assume that you don't want them to feel that. And you don't want to feel that I'm just hiring this person because it's a warm body. Like nobody wants that. So yes, just going back, if this trust your gut, if it doesn't feel right, maybe this person isn't the person you should be hiring.
All right. So I'll give you the four steps really quickly, and then I'll briefly explain each step and then I will leave it to you. So step one, track what gives you energy. Okay. So you're like, we're talking about joy here. Mm-hmm. Well, ideally, and I won't go into all the connection here, but like, joy will bring energy, right? It's going to bring everything's energy, right? Some things take your energy. Some things give you energy, right? Okay. So under just that quick, basic
podcast took my energy.
Step one, track what gives you energy. Step two, track what drains you. Step three, look for patterns, right? Or behavior analysts are good at looking at patterns and tracking things. So let's do it for ourselves. Yeah. Step four, make one shift, right? Just like for, you know, our kiddos, we're not going to like teach them how to, you know, ride a bike in like 30, you know, in a couple minutes, right? We got to, what's the first step, you know? So for even for 1 week, just track, just notice, right? Moments that light you up. Even just a little, that give you like a little tiny boost of energy. Because let's face it, joy is not an energy taker. Mm-hmm. Feelings like joy are energy givers. And so in my own personal life, I'm really trying to say like good and bad feelings. You know, like sad is bad and happy is good is more like energy givers and energy takers. And like we need a mixture of those, right? And then whether you take the same week and focus on what gives you energy, or what is draining your energy. If you're, you know, do that work, take 1 week to do giving and 1 week to do draining. And then look at those patterns, you know, and we can talk more about this. If you want to reach out to me, I would love to, like, I love this stuff and would love to, sit down. Like I can coach you. We can do some consulting and help you kind of work through this, if this is something that you're interested in. But, and then once you kind of notice those patterns, then make one shift, right? To shift towards, okay, I notice that I have a whole lot of energy draining tasks or things happening around me. And like, I have maybe one or two. A really quick tip of what you could do is, if you have electronic calendar, like, you know, one of those fancy computer calendars, you can color code. And like after the fact, you could like go back and be like, okay, like pink is energy draining and green is energy giving or whatever. And you could even track that way. And that gives like a really good visual. And you'll be like, wow, this was a very energy draining week, right? And so like, then you look at that and like, what one shift can you do? Even looking at antecedent strategies or looking at like reactive, like, okay, well, you know, there's not much I could do to shift this.
Right.
So what can I do to maybe repair, you know, and do something that's going to bring me some energy before the next week.
So yeah, I think that if you're anything like me, I'm sure some of you are, finding the things that you hate are way easier than finding the things that you enjoy. So maybe you start with, I really don't like that, right? When I come out of an interview, I don't like thinking these things. I don't like hearing these words in an interview, right? That may be the starting point. And then you can play the opposite game. So obviously, if I don't like this word or I don't like this phrase, then I probably, at least you can investigate, what's the opposite of that? Maybe I enjoy that, right? So I think that that can be helpful.
And I would like to leave it on this final note that in the sense of leadership, right? Yep. Joy is contagious. And I might say, rolling your eyes at me right now, but it is. Joy is contagious. So a joyful leader models those values in action and it influences your culture and retention and satisfaction. All right. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. We are thankful that you're here with us. Please feel free to leave us a comment or rate us on whatever platform you are listening to us on.
Super helpful.
And come visit us at ABA Business Leaders on Facebook. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.